97.9 The Heel, Aaron Keck coming at you from Twinsic Aura Studios here at University Place, joined by Victor Lewis to talk about what's trending in the world. What's up?
So, you know how it's not necessarily a lie, but a mistruth, an urban legend, that you can't report someone missing until 48 hours have passed?
I've heard 24, but that's still an urban legend.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. You are encouraged to immediately report someone missing, right?
This is why we'll often get emails from Chapel Hill Police saying this person is missing 2 hours after they went missing, because can and should do that. Yes.
We know that they're gone. Please help us find them. The sooner we do this, the better. I don't know if anyone ever told me this. I just assumed it was true. But now, thanks to a story out of Memphis, Tennessee, I have learned that if someone steals your property and then sells it to someone else, you have no legal right to get it back. Which, I guess I always assumed that if you can prove it's your property, you can get it back. Hey, this is mine. I don't care who has to refund who here. But give me my stuff back. A woman in Memphis, Tennessee had her house broken into. They stole a Rolex watch from her jewelry case. That Rolex watch has a serial number on it. That Rolex watch was tracked to a pawn shop, and the pawn shop was just like, ah, sorry, can't give this back to you, can't help you out. This is our business, this is how it is. The lady called the local sheriff's office and the police, both independently, and both of them said that this was out of their hands and suggested that she simply buy her watch back.
I can understand that, because the pawn shop technically didn't do anything wrong.
No, they did not.
But at the same time, shouldn't there be some standards, like maybe a legal standard for due diligence on the part of a company that might have a lot of people coming in and trying to pawn off stolen property, as it were?
Yeah, and I know that it would be exhaustive and most likely unnecessary to keep a ongoing, completely accurate record of all the people that sold things to a pawn shop. But, I mean, it would help in this case, because then you could go back to that person and get that money back and go from there. I don't know.
I feel like it would be pretty easy to keep a record like that. It's not like this pawn... I don't imagine this pawn shop is getting inundated with, like, 80 people coming in and there's only one person working behind the counter.
Now,
like,
that
just
I've thought about
ID,
it,
type a name in.
Now that I've thought about it for more than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If someone sells something to a pawn shop, they're probably looking to use that cash for something. They might not have it when you come back and try and get it back from them, because the point of the pawn shop is I have a thing I want to trade for money.
Right.
But I get, that also doesn't make it okay that that can be a fencing location, for sure. But yeah, I just assumed that I could get it back if I had pictures of my watch with a serial number and it matched this number, but no, you cannot. You cannot have it back, actually.
This does explain a huge percentage of world history.
That just because you can prove something was stolen doesn't mean you can have it back. Yeah,
it's
going to stay in that museum, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
That is way too many political conversations, right?
Let's move to something else that's also politically related.
Yay!
We got an Arkansas fire chief who was fired for, quote, the inappropriate use of emojis. Now, that's a funny headline coming out of Arkansas for sure. Fire chief fired for inappropriate use of emojis. What really happened is someone posted a picture of him holding a chicken and then used emojis to imply that he was chicken excrement, you know, the other word for that. And he replied to that post saying that if you have a problem with me, don't hide behind social media and come see me like a grown man, and then had his own emojis. It's not the emojis. It's more the implied threat in come see me that got him fired.
Perhaps,
but this put me down a little bit of a rabbit hole of why do we call it flipping the bird? Because that is what he was trying to express. He was trying to, like, reuse the chicken emoji and dunk on him by flipping the bird and whatnot. So, Aaron Keck, do you have any theories on why it's called flipping the bird? You know, that one-finger obscene gesture that you've probably made in your lifetime.
Yeah, the one that you just demonstrated to me 20 seconds ago.
Radio
listeners.
Not a visual media.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. So, as with a lot of offensive things, it begins in England. Because in England, back in the day, it was common insult practice to mimic birds. Owls, geese, pigeons. You would mimic a bird at someone.
I mean, if you call someone a chicken, you go,
made fun of them. Yeah.
Right?
There's so many bird-related insults. Now, flipping the bird actually has roots in ancient Greece with Aristophanes, the playwright. He wrote a play called The Clouds, where is the first recorded reference of a character comparing their middle finger to a phallus, which was a trend, a meme in ancient Greece that took off like wildfire.
Yeah.
And eventually you would be flipping the bird, as in you would be flipping a bird over to expose.
And this translates to an obscene gesture in England?
And here in America, eventually, truly an American tale. A great story that ends in this fire chief trying to express that awkwardly with emojis in Arkansas.
And there the story ends and shall go no further.
Truly.